This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton, and on today's show, you're going to get to meet Grant Kroll. Grant is the senior analyst at Real SEO, that's R-E-E-L SEO, which is a website started by Mark Robertson around video and SEO and the confluence of the opportunity of online video for marketing. Grant is also part of the Video Commerce Consortium. He's a founder at his company, Grantastic Designs. And believe me, he is Grantastic. You're going to enjoy this show. As a matter of fact, it's a two-part series because there are so many assets and attributes to the whole conversation around video. And Grant is such a wealth of knowledge that I really wanted to take the time to get into this a bit as much as we can in 2 half-hour segments. So this is part one of a two-part series with Grant Kroll from Real SEO and Grantastic Designs. He also is writing a legal guide to online video for business. And I thought, legal, online video, not so interesting. And then I read the syllabus, the outline of the book that he's writing. And I thought, oh, yeah, we have to talk about this. This is super important as a marketer to understand the legal rights and ramifications of online video. So we're going to talk about all kinds of video, social video, video SEO, distribution, syndication, analytics, legal ramifications, and we're going to have some fun. So let's get Grant on the show. Welcome him. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Susan. Hey, all you Dishy Mixers out there. Good to be on your show.
It's so nice to have you. And thanks for the organization you've brought to the preparation of this show. You and I want to cover so much. We have a big appetite for conversation. So I'm glad to have you here. I want to start out specifically, Grant, just getting a level set on the kinds of video, the styles, the formats of video, not production, but more like viral versus, you know, news information versus talking head pundit. What are people consuming from marketers, from people who are promoting a brand, a product, a service online? What kind of video formats are you seeing evolve or emerge that you are most interested in or are recommending to people?
Well, I should start out by saying what I cover for Real SEO. I cover a lot in video that is considered to be have an extra layer of social. And you would naturally think that video by its very nature is supposed to be social. We consume so much of it. It's, you know, it attracts so much of our senses over text and static images. The interesting thing is we've had to come up with a term for that because so much of the video that first came out was just repurposed television commercials. Or if it was something that was supposed to be fun and engaging, it wasn't really market driven. It was more of, let's see a monkey on a ski boat or something like that. So for marketers, it's commonplace that marketers are slowly getting it more and more that the videos you do are not trying to be repurposed from what you might do from traditional media such as television, that it should be something that is unique, that is engaging, that is attractive, that makes people want to share it out there. At the same time, you have a business goal around it. I mean, it can be something you wish to promote on top of that. And, I mean, video is the medium, and video is becoming more and more attractive and more accessible out there. It's just what marketers are really trying to do and understand is how can I create something that's efficient and engaging? And the challenge for marketers is to find out, how can I also wear many hats and be a producer without having to know so much video production? How can I know how to optimize video without taking away the human element? What are the proper places I should be distributing my video out there? Because YouTube is good, but there's a lot more. And so there's audiences that are more granular and more targeted. And so combine all those things and you have a really good video marketing strategy, but it takes a good amount of expertise and at least having an expert to show you, okay, here's what you need to focus on for your type of marketing and for your type of audience.
So give me some examples of video formats that you see in use out there now.
Well, a good video format is what I like, one I call that's easy for marketers to do. It's called run and gun. I actually happen to do a piece on this for Real SEO, which is handy where you see people with their flip camcorders, more and more commonplace. And it's about capturing the moment. There's a good book out about doing real-time marketing and PR by David Merriman Scott of the New Rules in Marketing PR, which is about we don't have time to do a video setup. You know, sometimes, do you have an idea that pops in your head? Hey, why not attach that camcorder in your car and repeat it and then say that? And so then when you get to your house, when you get to your office, you put it out there because people are listening to you as a trusted source of valuable content. That video format is personality-driven. Or you do what I do often, which is the interview format. I find that, and other video professionals I've talked to, marketing professionals, find the interview format to be very good because you're bouncing stuff off of people, just like you and I are doing here right now. I mean, something like this could be done via a Skype video interview where you have it out there. It's packaged. It could be something done via webcam so you don't have to wait for so much time for the video to transcode like you do on larger systems. And it's just get it out there. That's a really good setup. Another setup is the event. When you have an event, like say a conference, there's so many things going on and you could always feature something as B-roll footage. You could always shoot somebody. You could always try to get an angle of having an opinion around it. I find personality driven video to be very, very good where it's not just, I'm just going to shoot something of somebody else, but you put yourself in there or you put somebody else there with a personality. As you can tell by the way I talk, I have a personality that, some people might really like, some people might rub the wrong way, but it's going to make you remember that video more. For example, Susan, if you took a photo of something and there wasn't any people in it, it might not attract you as much as a person with some expression or people with some expression in the video. Why? Because most people are social. That's the same thing of what marketers need to understand, engage with video. And that's a format that I really see going is the interview and personality driven format.
All right, so we have run and gun, we have interview, we have event coverage, and we have personality driven. How would you say personality driven is different than interview?
Personality driven is not necessarily different from interview. Personality driven is a style. An interview can be one who is an interviewer and an interviewee, one or more than one person. And personality driven is you're not just asking questions like somebody who you might be a reporter. But you are being a commentator. You can even be commentating on the experience as it's happening. Sometimes when I do real basic post-production work, I might add my own comments after the video. Now, for example, a fun, humorous way is what you see with Stephen Colbert doing it on his own take when he does off of Bill O'Reilly and has some fun, and there's always some talking points on the side. That's a fun thing, but that can be used for marketing purposes. What someone who's just shooting a video can take it afterwards and say, oh, okay, here's some fun little talking points from there. And so you're getting a flavor of the video on top of the information, and that makes you recollect it a lot better. The studies that I've seen with testing a video is that if it's not just an interview, but if it is somebody knowing what kind of commentary to add that appeals to the target market, that works a lot better. It can either be in the video or it can be in a blog post around the video. And I even do this for myself with a piece called Grant's Rant. And I find it to be really engaging for my audience because they get to know me better through the video.
I think I should probably put a blog post with links to all of these different styles of video, you know, formats that you're producing. What about how-tos and tutorials? I would think for marketers that could be a really valuable and rich area of video information.
It certainly is. And how-to and tutorials are a great means, of course, for not, what I also find when you mention how-to and tutorials is that it clears up confusion. For example, how-tos and tutorials are actually great in the online retail space for marketers. I've interviewed companies like Zappos, and they mention with their own videos, the how-tos and tutorials they do over using the products actually produce a much lower rate of returns than if they didn't have videos around it because the videos are very explanatory. I like watching videos for how-tos. I go to eHow and HowCast, and you can also go to specialty sites like bobvila.com to watch the how-tos of setting up something around the house. I mean, I'm all thumbs with just trying to do home maintenance. But watching the video, because I am a visual person, it helps me remember and helps give me good instructions. What I do for Real SEO is I might do how-to on like how to embed a video in your SlideShare, how to embed a video in Google Docs, things that are just simple, straightforward. But also remember when you're doing a how-to, it really is about try to be succinct. If you have long pauses, then people get distracted. You want to still be try to be succinct with your how-tos and do some post-production. But it really is as simple as doing a video screen capture, which you could do with some very basic software for your Windows or Mac computer. So I always recommend doing some how-tos as a marketer to give back to your audience, give them something of value that's easy to produce.
I like this interview so far. You have a lot of rich content, and I'm really appreciating the distinctions that you're drawing. It reminded me that before we started doing the interview, we were talking about the difference between visual, auditory, and kinesthetic learners. And that's certainly something that marketers have to think about. They have to think about the fact that their customers are intermediates and experts and novices. There are different personas or customer segmentation that they're working with. There are different kinds of people who consume content in different ways. And so I think video is definitely one of those pieces that's additive to what you're doing that gives those visual consumers of content what they're looking for. How do you compensate for the, you know, other people who learn by doing and they can't learn, they can't sit still and watch a video? What are some other things that you might recommend that go along with it?
Well, one thing that I think should be done regardless of a lot of video is write a synopsis of the video. One, for SEO purposes, because the search engines need actual text to index. They can't pull the actual video file itself and figure out what you're saying in it. There are actually technologies for that, and YouTube can do that on some level, but that does not affect the search algorithms one bit. So you should be doing that regardless. You should not always be thinking about, even when you're doing video, on expecting it to be only a visual experience. You also should be expecting it to be a textual experience. Sometimes what I do with some videos is I might make it an audio-only experience. Why? Because I know some people like to listen to a podcast show I'm doing when they're in the car, when they can't necessarily be paying attention to the video. Even though what's interesting is a lot of people might watch a video as background noise, so you need to have the audio sound real good. Even though people think video is it all about the image? I say no. You have to also know is we are multitaskers. We're distracted. We purposely distract ourselves. Very, very rarely are we just sitting down in front of a computer or a mobile device and just look at that. And even if we are, we have so many other visual elements around us. We have so many other things on our mind. So for that group, and it is a large group of people who don't respond well to video, give them something that they do respond well that relates to the video. And I always say use a transcript, take the best segment of your video and summarize it. I do that with my longer videos. Is I just say, here's the meat. If you just got 30 seconds and you want to know what this video is about, here's what it's about.
Well, one of the things that I also like that I've seen you do, I think you do this on realseo.com, is you'll do a video. Like I think I saw this on your interview with Mari Smith when you met her at Blog World Expo. I was there. I didn't see either one of you. You put the time code in, you know, at 3 minutes and 5 seconds, Mari talks about blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you had like 3 time codes with special places in the video that people could watch. And you had that also with a write-up. So I thought that was very well done. It takes a level of organization and discipline to do that. So you have to premeditatively build it into the time frame of the work that you're producing to do all of that.
Yeah, we're fortunate that it's our job and it's my job to do just that. And I've learned enough to how to do it efficiently. And you make mistakes along the way with, you know, things that are time consuming. And what I mean, for me, I'm a very fast typer. So I listen to the interview afterwards and then I transcribe it. And then from there, I know how to do proper headers, because if I just do a very long transcription, people are going to go, oh gosh, this is a thousands of words long. I don't have the time for this. But if you break it off with headers, then you're giving people a context they can wrap their brain around. They're much more likely to read the whole thing, or at least go to the parts they're interested in. And I like doing the time codes, the timestamps, because then people can choose to go to a certain point. I mean, I look at it as the iTunes theory of give people a choice if they want the album or if they want the song. And that way there's something for everybody. It's, you know, you start off with what can everybody appeal to, and then you can make things granular for, okay, here's somebody who wants just to get a certain portion of the video. Here's somebody who just wants to know what the summary is of the article. You know, and that is appealing to them, and it's not hard to do. It actually is a very efficient way to work when you're in the mindset of going into doing an article or any type of program with video.
One of the things that I've done is I've taught my transcriber. I use the same transcriber for all of my work. We keep her quite busy. And she now writes the section headers. Whenever I'm turning an audio product into an ebook, I don't do it for my general transcripts every week on my show, but I do have her write the headers, and then I go in and edit them if I need to. But she does a really good job. Like, she's getting the context of it as she's transcribing it, and she's pulling out the highlights of it and making me those headers. And so, you know, if you're using a transcriptionist, just ask them to do that for you. You don't have to do it all yourself. So I want to move on to the production value. We talked a little bit about the run and gun flip cam conversation in your car. And, you know, I think those are good as a part of what you do, unless you're doing a personality driven kind of a pundit thing. But for a marketer themselves, what kind of, and I know you're going to say audio is the number one thing you have to do, and if you don't, I'm going to say it. What are some of the things that marketers can do that maybe is a little bit better than flip cam, but doesn't necessarily have to be a production crew hired?
Sure. I mean, a good part of it comes down to budget. And another part of it comes down to simplicity.
Assume that there's no budget.
Zero budget.
I always assume that there's no budget for anything, because marketers often have to make something work with guerrilla tactics, show that they're getting results, and then they can build a budget in for the future. So let's just always start at like minimal budget.
Let's start off with assume they have a computer that's working.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Or they could get access to a computer at the library.
No, of course. It's not that bad. Come on. It's not that bad. But just assume we have small, medium, and enterprise listeners. And so we're really trying to make sure we don't leave people behind, because often the small and medium business owners can take so much advantage of it because they're nimble, or the big guys, they have so much around legalities, which we're going to cover later, that it's almost harder for them. So I think small and medium business naturally lends itself, especially to run and gun in the next level up of video. So tell us what that's like.
Sure. Well, that's how I got started. I like a lot of other people, experiment. I mean, my days of experimentation go back well before the web, when I was trying to do documentary video work and going through college and seeing what is out there. What can I learn? Find out what will just make me get a product out. And there is trying to find the good balance of what I've written about for Real SEO called business quality video. And I found interest in the companies that I've interviewed that are on the enterprise level. Sometimes they will have no budgets, or like you mentioned, there are legal obstacles, so the attorneys won't allow them to do some things, or that it may take months and months to get things approved and not nearly on the level they want. So it is easier for most small to medium-sized businesses to just go out and do video. The question is, okay, say you don't have a budget out there. I've told people, I've been a consultant to a lot of such companies, and also individuals who have wanted to take the lead for their company on doing this, on what can they do as the cheapest, but at the same time, say I work with a very bare bones, or I like to call no bones budget. What I always tell people is, who do you have that you work with that can do a trade with you for equipment? But at the same time, make sure it's simple enough. And I tell people, start off with the simplest thing. If you've never used a flip camcorder, start off with a flip camcorder. If you have, go one level up. Like what I do, a lot of my shows are on a webcam, but then I use a high quality microphone attached to it. Why? Because I know the type of video I'm going to be doing.
What mic do you use, Grant?
I use a Blue Yeti THX USB 2.0 microphone. It's a $150 microphone, and I love it. I have used good quality microphones, which we call for XLR cables, because it prevents the type of noise you might get with some microphones. But what I like about this one, that's been out for probably about 6 months or so, it doesn't have what we call latency. And by latency, I mean that when I talk, I might hear it in my headphones like a half second later, which is very weird. And that's been a problem with microphones that are connected to the computer. But there are better quality ones like this that I find is the best bang for your buck. But part of it comes down is I also use a metal pop filter, so you don't hear the puh and the buzz that normally are captured when you might be using like a headset mic. If you have to use a headset, you have $50, I recommend Logitech. Plantronics has a good one as well. Sometimes it comes out to testing these things, but the hard part is that usually when you test out these things, they don't allow you to return it if it's a piece, if it's a microphone. Part of that has to do with germs. So it usually is a good idea, if you're really serious about it, of going to an actual dealer, and they typically have a room where you can test these things out. But other than that, For $150, I say this is probably the best you can do if you're doing a show, if you're in a fixed location, than having a webcam, than having a good microphone, and even investing a little bit of lighting, even like a cheap stuff at a Home Depot, is a very, very good way to start. You know, you want to keep things simple and work your way up. People have a problem with getting just too excited and buy a lot of stuff and they don't use, and then it gets intimidating for them. So I say start small, work yourself way up to the next level. CNET has some great reviews on cheap camcorders that are a step up from Flip. Camcorderinfo.net also has some good reviews. Just take your time, you know, go out there. And even at Real SEO, we feature some good video producers that talk about what kind of equipment to get when you're just starting up as a marketer, but you want to do business quality video.
You're just a font of, you're like a Videopedia. So, right. And you're the videologist. That's why they call you the videologist.
I think that's just what I call myself, but I'd like other people to start calling me. I think you're the first. Thanks, Susan.
I'm the first, but not the last. Not
the
last.
First recorded.
So, I want to do one of those, big picture, top down organizing principle discussions, conversations with you. I want you to tell me how you view and pigeonhole and organize the online video world with regard to where video can live. So social video, video SEO on your own website. Syndication through OVPs, online video platforms, and CDNs? And is there another category I'm not even thinking of? Start us there. Okay, I've got something. I got my my webcam and my Blue Yeti, and I've decided to do some run and gun and some personality-driven how-to stuff. All right, so I've got some stuff now. What am I going to do with it? Tell me how you organize and sort that concept.
All right, let's say you got your stuff, and your stuff is your equipment. The next thing you need is a plan. And what I do with people, as well as even myself, is I think of, what does my audience want? What appeals to my audience? What do I understand about my audience? And so it helps me think of the framework for the type of video I'm going to do. What's going to be the content? Am I going to be doing interviews? Am I going to be doing commentary? Am I going to rely on the latest news? Am I going to be doing something where I can take a screen capture and feature that in video of myself or other people? So that really is the strategy. I mean, there are several P's, and the first P is plan. You know, planning to get your equipment like you described, say you got your equipment, but the next plan is on your content strategy. And you also have to think of, how do you want to project yourself out there? Who's the competition that you're dealing with? What are the keywords you want to show up for? How do you want to appeal to people to make them want to share your video? I think the strategy today for marketers around is understand, once you have a sharing strategy that works with the video distribution sites like a YouTube, but also think beyond that. Vimeo is a great site for educational stuff. It's very user-friendly, great high-definition quality, and only, I think, like about $60 a year for basically having a pro account. Blip TV is also an account I use. Regular content, it's great for doing RSS feeds. You know, if you want people to subscribe to your video content out there, it's a great, you can even put it up on iTunes. So part of looking at what are the basic video distribution sites where you don't have to spend an arm and a leg. Online video platforms are nice because it's kind of a way where a company offers a technology solution and as a digital asset management for your video and other things as well too. It can even be images or audio, and saying, we'll take care of that for you. I'll tell you why, Susan, because if I started talking about with people about content delivery networks and things like Akamai or Amazon, their eyes would glaze over. It's something that you get into the technical area, and then it becomes intimidating for a lot of marketers. Even I myself, I've been in the space for a number of years, and I have to brush up quite a bit in that area. So I always tell people is, start off with the services that are free, and then work your way up to things that might be in a low-level paid, like a Vimeo, like a Blip TV. There's also a program at Real SEO that we sometimes use for videos, or that's one of our advertisements, disclosure there, called Vizar, that is a low-level, I should say, affordable way of doing video management. There are other ones out there like Sorensen, Brightcove, that cost $100 on up, but they could be pretty good at managing your digital assets out there too. And as a means of also saying, what if you want that video to be out in the mobile space? What if you want it to be on an iPad? These are areas marketers need to consider. So that is the next area, which is promotion, distribution. And on top of that, Susan, analytics. Google is very good, but there are also services that do analytics on video. I use a service called Wistia. I love it. Also, disclosure, I get an account with them too. And it's great because I can test out video and showcase it to other people before I make it live, get their comments at time-coded places, and just have a means for if I want to have that video easily shared with other people and easily embedded. The whole point of working with a good video solution that's technology is making sure it's easily shareable. Like I can send it out by my Facebook. I can send it out via Twitter because you can put video in Twitter as well. For marketers, they tend to want an all-encompassing solution. I'd hate to say it is there isn't one there yet, but you can work with different parts. You're probably familiar with TubeMogul, where it can automatically distribute out to a number of video sharing distribution sites, but it doesn't allow the level of granular optimization if you want to adjust the copy to get that right title tag. So there's a lot, and that's good. You can be as simple as you want, or you can have a large solution that covers all these areas. The key is to find out, how much time do you really have? Because you still got a business to run.
Okay, let me ask some clarifying questions here. When we talk about some of the video destination sites, I'm going to try to give these names and I want you to help me with it. When I think about things like iTunes or YouTube, I'm really thinking about a video destination site. When I think about things like, and maybe that's where Vimeo and Blip TV go as well, then I think about content management systems and distribution systems. And that's where you get into the Vizar, Sorensen, Brightcove. But I don't really understand how you would use both the distribution systems like a TubeMogul or TrafficGeyser versus an online video platform versus something like Wistia, which is new. Wistia. How do you spell that?
There you go. You got it. Wistia. Wistia. It's a, and that makes it more interesting because that's a site that's also used for project management for those people who like to produce a lot of video. So just by our discussion here, you can see it can be a little tricky, and now I understand these new terms, but I'll tell you and your audience this. An online video platform is a technology solution that's meant for you to not to have to worry about things that might be a little too techie. Like content delivery networks, which is all about somebody's paying for this bandwidth. I mean, when you have an account with your internet service provider, who's paying for that bandwidth? Who's paying for the servers? That's where the online video platform, they take care of it for you because they have so many other customers, so they're able to get you a better deal than if you try to do this yourself and without all the headaches that normally come around with it. Online video platforms are great for them to manage your digital assets, for you to be able to put content around them, copy around them, metadata, things for the search engines. Also with choosing your image thumbnail on there, for you having your own custom video player that you can choose and how it looks, even having various different types of channels or categories, depending on how big you want to make it or how simple you want to make it.
But that's really site side. If you want to have video on your website, that's where you're going to use an online video platform, right?
Well, you can really use both because YouTube itself is a video player that you can embed.
Yeah.
The video distribution sites do this very thing. The issue here really is that the goal that I tell people with video marketing is you want to show up your video, have it show up for direct, take people directly to your site. I call this website video SEO. Things tend to get diluted if you rely on a YouTube or if you rely on another distribution site out there, which is not necessarily meant for the purposes of what's best for you and your marketing goals. I mean, that is the trade-off with getting something for free or for cheap. But with a good professional online video platform, you can have it set up so that when that video shows up in Google search results, and if you do it right with an image thumbnail, and that's great for basically getting people's eyeballs to you, works great for us at Real SEO, then it takes people directly to your site. That means you don't have the competition of YouTube and a whole bunch of other unrelated videos. Susan, there's something I got to share. When I gave a presentation at Search Engine Strategies Conference this past October, when I asked the audience there, and I was speaking on video SEO, and one side of me was a developer from Google, and another was the author of the book on YouTube Marketing Hour a Day, I asked the audience, how many of you are doing something other than YouTube? And less than 10% of the audience raised their hand. That YouTube is still the mentality where most people doing marketing think. And I'm saying is that's one area, but there's a much more important area, which is just what you said. Use an online video platform. Heck, just know how to put video on your site and take people to your site. It's much better for returns.
Now, if you use something like Vizar, Sorensen, or Brightcove, and you have this video on your site, you can also distribute that video through social. And you could also put pieces of it on YouTube, right? I mean, it's not like it's not one or the other. You could do both. What you're recommending, if I'm getting you clearly, Grant, is start with the ownership of your content on your site, right?
That is exactly correct. I tell people this. Website video SEO is the same thing as video SEO, which is what SEO is about, which is bringing people to your site. I mean, what if SEO was about so that you could optimize content on somebody else's site? That would sound really strange. Yet that's how people are approaching video SEO. They're thinking, okay, I'll have the content optimized on YouTube. And so when a result shows up, YouTube will pop up. And sure, that may be your video content, technically speaking, but it's not taking people to your site. And your site, just like with DishyMix, your site is the hub for your business model. It's the hub of where you ultimately want to attract your audience to. Now, granted, there will always be audiences that only choose to go on YouTube or a Facebook or even a Twitter, and that's still of marketing value, but it's a much larger and greater marketing value to bring people to your own site. So website video SEO is about SEO best practices, which is about bringing people to your site.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense. I want to get more into that in the next episode. I think this is a good time for us to break from part one to part two. And when we get to part two, what I want to go over is your latest thinking about video SEO. If we go with the premise that we don't want to put everything on YouTube or Vimeo or Blip, we want the content on our site, how do we show up in the Google search results with the video that's on our website? That's the next question we should start with on part two. Does that sound good to you?
I'm looking forward to it already. I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
I can't wait either. All right. Well, you have been listening to Grant Kroll. Grant is a senior analyst and videologist at Real SEO. He is the founder of Grantastic Designs. He's writing a legal guide to online video for business, and we're going to be talking about that whole hairy rat's nest that he's going to help us figure out how to navigate through in the next episode. You've listened to part one of a two-part series with Grant and I. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. And you can follow Grant at Grant Kroll. It's, he says Kroll, like K-R-A-L-L almost, but it's spelled Crowell. So it's Grant, C-R-O-W-E-L-L, at Grant Kroll. You can find him there. You can read him on Real SEO. He's syndicated a lot of places. And I'm going to put a bunch of links up on the Dishy Mix page at Personal Life Media so you can find all of his great work as well. You can go to that one place on my site for Dishy Mix and get everything. All right. I am your host, Susan Bratton. This has been a good update on online video. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Grant, thank you so much for getting us started with this.
Thank you. It has been my virtual pleasure.
I'm your host, Susan Bratton. I hope you have a great day. And thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.